Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast. I have Greg here with me. It's been about 2 weeks.
2 weeks too long.
2 weeks too long that we have been on the microphone. We've had life happen. We've had golf happen. And of course, we've had our fitness happen as well, too. Greg, how are we doing?
Tell you the truth, with all this rain, coming off of a week of like straight golf, where all I did was play golf basically for a week straight. I mean, it's getting back to work and having all the rain and not being able to get to the range. I mean, it's just a downer, dude.
Yeah, in this episode, as we're here for episode 7 of season 2, we are going to recap Gents Cup. If you were with us on our last episode, we could not wait to get to the Gents Cup 2025. It was a blast, a lot of fun. And once again, Greg and I came out victorious in our team.
Team E did.
Our team event overall. We both kind of had two different types of Gents Cup. One was a little bit more successful. One had a really fun time. And we went from there. So, but talk to us, Greg. How has it been since Ben? How's your workouts going? How's life going?
Tell you the truth, coming back from Gents Cup, I continued on the golf trip plan for that week. It was one of those things where when we got back Wednesday, I just did a run and a walk, and then Thursday I actually did a full workout. I did just the core arms workout. And then Friday, I jumped right back on the 300 workout. And then Saturday, 300 workout. And then a long run on Sunday. This week has been awesome getting back into the actual weight room, lifting heavy weight. I PR'd my mile today. So that's a good thing coming off of a week of golf.
You hit the presidential fitness test.
I PR'd. I didn't hit my goal, but I PR'd.
I think what your time was. I think you would have made presidential.
That's good, because I didn't do that until I was like a junior in high school. I was the fat kid, remember?
I don't think I ever would put that effort into the mile. All the other ones, I think I put the effort in, but not the mile.
The sad thing was today, I actually, even though it was in the rain when I was running, like probably maybe a half mile in, I was like, I think I got this today. I think I got 5:59 today. Cause like, I mean, the first lap I was cruising perfectly fine, not even breathing heavy. And it was like, 6:40 pace. And then like, I was like, all right, I'll keep this pace for the next quarter mile. Then I hit half mile 6:32. And I was like, ooh, it's like, okay. So I picked up the pace a little bit, and I think I passed three quarters of a mile at like 6:26. And I was like, I think I can get it. And started just dead sprinting. Last like 150, I just gassed.
Well, if you were running in the rain, you had the rain shoes on. So they're weighted. So you easily should have broken six. And that's it. What were you, 6:14, 6:19?
6:15 today.
6:15. I mean, that's easily 17 seconds of weighted shoes.
And post-workout, post-lift. I did heavy deads, heavy cleans. I did heavy kettlebell swings. I did leg curls. I did pull-ups.
I did the same workout. Tuesday, I did the same workout.
So. You're right. You're on the plan now.
We got our pull now. I will say if I don't run afterwards, I don't run. I guess if I run, I probably won't lift. So I do have to get the run in after the workout.
Better to work out first and then run, especially if you're trying to burn fat.
I feel like at my age, it's better off just to do something than not something.
It's so true. It's too.
If I can fit in any order, I'll fit in.
Our age, because so we're pretty close.
I know. I do, what am I, about a year? Just under a year?
Yeah. I think you're a little over a year.
Over a year? Okay. So
like a year and a week.
For those who don't remember, when we go on these trips, for some reason, we tend to wake up at very early hours and get our workouts in. We did meet down there on Sunday, but on Monday, I think we were up at 5 a.m., maybe once.
It was an early morning.
It was an early one. And we worked out, got a run in, and then did 36. And then on Tuesday, we did get to sleep
in. We did the 300 too.
Right. But on Tuesday, we got to sleep in a little bit.
Yeah.
And then went in. So we got our workout, a run in on each day. Wednesday, I didn't do anything. I took a nap. That's about all I was able to do. And then I did pick it back up myself Thursday, Friday, and I went right back into it. I got a little bit heavier. The legs did not feel good on the runs. I think I dialed it back to just 2 miles a day, but I've been backed up to the 12 hours on the softball field, at the softball field on Saturday, just deflated me. And then another 7 hours on the baseball field the next day deflated me. So I didn't get much in. I have found, though, if I don't do something, I hurt more. Like, I'm more than not doing something. So I need to be able to...
An object in motion stays in motion.
I know, but I need to work back in those Saturday runs. I actually brought my stuff to run on Saturday. I just was not able to do it. So, and then, of course, beautiful Mother's Day. Shout out to our mothers, our wives, everything that makes this happen and allows us to do these crazy journeys that we tend to get ourselves on. And then I was able to welcome a teenager into the household yesterday as well, too, as my oldest was turning 13. It was very scary. But, you know, let me know she knows everything. And if she doesn't know it, she just looks it up on her phone. So it was all good. It was all good. It's a good time. Had some cake. Had a golf course cake. So that was pretty cool.
Solid.
It was actually really good. So we are going to recap Gents Cup 2025, and calling in with us, and he just popped online, is that we have my brother Brian joining us. Brian, are you there?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. Sorry, but Brian can't do the video tonight. He is calling. He's on. Actually, don't know where he is. I know he's my brother. I probably should know, but he's calling in tonight, and Brian got to join us.
I couldn't tell you where my brother was to save my heart. Like, a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you where my brother was at any time.
Well, he is more than
welcome. I'm likely in front of the golf sim, just hitting away. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, it's probably where it is. He's probably dressed the sweat for being on the sim all day of trying to knock in a hole in one at a golf course for us. But no, Brian's going to join us. Brian got to join us this year on the Gents Cup 2025. This was my second trip. Greg, this was your third trip. Brian was a rookie in it. And, you know, unfortunately, Brian was put on the other team. So he did not come home victorious, but he's going to help us recap the trip. We were able to meet up in Penn National, which is about give or take 90 minutes away from both of us, maybe just a touch longer for Greg. He's a little bit further away than I am, and Brian as well, too. But two beautiful golf courses. Couldn't have been more pleased with the weather.
Yeah.
I mean, weather
really
went up
held
there.
Out for us.
Yeah, we went up there with the mindset of rain gear the whole, all four rounds.
I mean, you almost brought nothing but mesh shorts and rain gear.
I did. I texted you a couple days before, wall workout clothes, because, you know, the rain gear is so hot when you're underneath of it.
Yeah.
I was going to go all mesh shorts and t-shirt and just had the rain gear on the whole time. But thank goodness I didn't, because I think out of the four rounds, we did get a good storm in one of the rounds, but I think I had it on for maybe 20 minutes, and then...
Brian was the most prepared. Brian looked like he was back across the pond. Like, when he showed up, when everybody else was drenched, Brian was like clean as a whistle.
Yeah, I think there was one point where the rain was about to come down, and I was riding with Joe C, and we had that hour of just torrential downpour. And I said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and put my gear on. He goes, it's not even raining that hard. I was like, yeah, I've kind of been here before. And like within 10 minutes, it was like a biblical pouring of rain. And everyone is hiding for their lives. And I had all my gear on, and like, they're all scrambling to find their gear in their bags. And yeah, that just comes with a lot of practice. And so I think the most I ever changed out of rain gear in one round was 5 times. And,
good Lord.
You know, it's crazy, but you just kind of get used to it. And then you just got to make sure you dry it out the night before.
So Brian,
that was it. That was all we had.
In college, Brian minored in cloud study. So he was like, oh, that's a cumulonimbus. That's definitely coming towards us.
Yeah.
There's a little science nerd in Brian that it will come sure out is. Quite a time.
So. Yeah.
But yeah,
I tell you, the drive up, though, the clouds, I honestly thought there's just no way that not one that it's not wasn't going to rain, but the fact that the course is held and the fact that we were not even cart path only. They let us like it was like you got to be kidding me. I was shocked when we
that
showed
wasn't
up
the thing.
Like,
Greg
yeah,
and
good
I
to go.
Greg and I debated on who was going to how many cart path only rounds, and I said we were going to be 4 for 4 cart path only. He goes and he was getting pretty fired up. He goes, we can't get off the cart path. I don't even want to go. But yeah,
I was hoping they would force us to walk because you guys know I love walking every course. But it was pretty. It was impressive that the course held and it really didn't puddle even on the greens. And I thought that was pretty impressive.
Now I think probably the 15-20 minutes right after that torrential, what do you call it, biblical downpour, it was a couple of the fairways were soaked and everything. But man, it ended up being. Okay, you guys were lucky enough to be around that restroom area. My group hung out underneath a tree, and then we joined a couple other guys underneath another tree and had the umbrellas.
We had a solid like hour party underneath there, basically.
Yeah. It was good. I know a couple of people were missing not being over there, but it was a good time. So we're going to go quickly through our rounds, talk a little bit about our rounds. We'll talk a little bit about the golf course. As those know who were able to join us in one of our bonus episodes after season one, we had Brian on. Brian's from Bullpens and Bunkers, which is his little company he's got going on. Talks a lot about the golf experiences and helps people out with golf experiences, but is a true
historian.
As a historian slash lover of the golf course, like loves to talk about the architects and the designers and everything. So he's going to add a little bit of some information, which I actually thought was pretty impressive when I heard it, just being local here and how they had a local feel there as well too. But starting out on Sunday, we drove up there, got there in plenty of time, no issues. Greg was not the last person there, which was great. Had plenty of time. He didn't beat me. I was back on the normal. Getting there before him, but it was pretty close. We started out in a shamble format. If you guys don't remember that, shamble is where the two of you tee off and then you choose the best drive, play your own ball in. And we counted both scores on this time in a match play format. So 2 versus 2, we played the Iron Forge course, which to my knowledge, and Brian will fill us in here in a moment, is the newer of the two courses. I thought it was the newer course just because there wasn't as many houses around it. Although with all the construction, I bet you go back in a couple of years, it will be full. It played at a par 72.
It definitely looked a little more modern too.
It did. And I was actually a little surprised. We played pretty far tees. I mean, we have a wide range of handicaps and talent and abilities. And we played about 6,600 yards. And when you know, it was, I don't think things were rolling out then. We didn't have the downpour we were talking about earlier quite yet, but pretty good course.
It is the newer of the two courses. Apparently its designer was Bill Love, no relation to Davis Love, as far as I can tell. It came in 30 years after the original course. I thought what was most impressive really was it had the wide open feel, unlike the other course. I mean, we'll compare the two. It's two courses. Like anytime you go on a golf trip and you've got these courses that have 2-3 courses, like if you even think about the Bandons or the Pinehurst or the other, you know, courses like that, they've got lots of different courses. Not one is really similar to the other, right? So you really felt like you were playing two distinct courses. The greens, the contours, the layouts of the fairways, the layouts of the shot, you know, your approach shots, everything was different. But this course I liked, and the whole compound was built on off an iron ore mining ground, right? So anytime you have that, you know, you're going to have some sort of, you know, dips and hollows all over the place, which always, you know, creates more interest in any kind of golf course. I love the fact that this one, like after you got past the first 3 holes, which were pretty uneventful and boring, I would say like 4 through 10 or 11, whenever you had to go back through that really small tunnel to get across the main road, the backdrop was great, right? I think that was the South Mountains or something like that. I don't know Pennsylvania really well, but it was really pretty to see that mountain backdrop, right? And every single hole really felt wide open and you did not feel like you were constrained by any club. Right, everything was approachable. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't lose any balls on that course. because it just, you know, it was easier to find. The rough wasn't going to really catch you too much. I mean, you know, you all, Brad and I lost a couple, but that's probably because you outdrove everybody and it just went somewhere wild. I mean, for the most part, it was a pretty much, here's what's in front of you, go ahead and take it. There wasn't any blind shots, anything like that. In fact, there wasn't really any blind shots even on the other course either. I'd say the coolest part about this course, though, really was something that I forgot who said it out loud. They said there's it may have been RP or somebody. So there's a mountain effect. And I was like, what the hell is that?
And I was going to talk about that.
Yeah. And I had never heard of such a thing. And so when you're on the grid, I'll say the conditions of this course were probably more surprising than I expected. It was a really nice course. I know it's a resort course. It gets a lot of play, gets a lot of tournaments and big groups. But they, you know, the hospitality, the people were great,
yep,
and catered towards those big groups. But I think, in all honesty, the thing that usually slips is the conditions. And I felt like the greens were really good shape.
Really
it
good
was
shape.
Hard to find another divot that you needed to replace. You replaced your own and then you didn't have any nearby. Like it was, I really thought that was impressive. But this mountain effect, I guess it almost messes with your eyes and takes control, like and the ball is said to go towards the mountain or something like that. And I would read greens and it was clear that there was a mountain effect. I read them wrong. And if you read what, you know, if you did what they say, which is hit it towards the mountain, they rolled towards the mountain. It did just that, but it certainly didn't look that way. So I thought that was kind of that was a neat feature that I had never seen before
that,
on a course.
That was, I mean, I can attest to that. There was probably three putts that I was like, oh, okay, it's breaking left to right. And I hit it and it broke dead left. And I'm like, cool, what?
Yeah.
I had definitely two or three putts that broke the complete opposite of what I read.
Yeah. I what was crazy about the greens, I actually didn't think they were too undulated, but they had a ton of movement in them, mm-hmm, which
yeah,
I actually thought the other course had more undulation, but you can see it, the line a little bit better. And maybe that was that mountain effect. My mountain effect, or what I was going to get to, is I kind of related it to the Raspberry Gall course, which is down the road from us. When you're playing into the mountain, it played half a club less when you, or no, I'm sorry, it played half a club more because the thicker air coming off the mountain than when you played away from the mountain, it looked like it was half a club less. Mm-hmm. And I only remember that because when I was coaching, that was one of our home courses. That was something I always knew. And I looked for it going into the mountain and I could tell a little bit that it did play a little bit, not as much. I wish I knew the putting that Brian must have kept to himself after he played that first round and didn't want to tell anybody.
Well, he was on the other team, so.
He was on the other team, so.
It didn't help. I don't think I remember making but maybe one long putt, honestly, on that course, but I felt like I made a lot more putts on Founders, right? And I think that was a more traditional approach on those golf, on those putts. Yeah, easier to read. And so, yeah, so I don't know. Maybe there was something to it. I'm not sure, but yeah, I think the whole vista, like, because yeah, when you hit four and you hit down in that vista, you see the mountain backdrop. I thought that was really cool. The thing that's going to be really disappointing is all the house construction that's going up between holes 4, 5, and 6, which are going to be great holes to live off of for those houses. But from like from the vantage that you have on top of that hill, when you start looking at the mountains, you're going to lose it because you're going to be lined with houses. So that's unfortunate, but
depends on who's on the tee, whether or not it's going to be nice to live off of that.
There may be some houses in play.
They were certainly in play. Yeah, they're going to be in play.
I'm pretty sure I saw a couple of people hit directly into the construction, but whatever.
Nice.
I won't name names. Might have been me.
There was the one thing also about the grain, or the greens were the grain. On both courses, I saw a lot more grain than I'm used to around this area. Chipping into the grain, balls checked, held up a little bit more. And I actually picked that up on the number one. When I had a chip shot into the par five, and looking at it, it was really dark facing me. And I was like, land it your typical distance, and it checked. And then I think on the next hole, I had it the opposite way because I missed the green on the par four, and they rolled out. And I think anyone could say the putts rolled out down green. And they had a couple of the pins right on some ridges, if you went by and it went down grain, you're like, man, how's that going lower than a foot past? And now you're 4 to 5 feet past. And, you know, probably a lot of missed 4 to 5 footers in our groups and all 32 of us that were down there. So the stuff rolled out pretty well, but spot on. I thought the conditions were top notch. I would
I'd say by the ninth hole, I didn't see green. It was, I was blurry eyed and the green was going in every direction at that point. So putts didn't matter. I think it was all luck by then.
Couple too many drams of whiskey.
There may have been a couple.
I did hear about that. We all heard about that.
Yeah, I did. I did bring the drams and the birdie juice. That was from Scotland. That was fun. Yeah.
I think I brought mine, but I didn't have to use very much overall. I do a quick shout out on the, now I don't think any of us were there. We weren't there for the first tee shot, but the first tee shot of Gents Cup 2025, I believe went 3 inches this year. Oh. It literally plugged right in front. It was a topped tee. That was my playing partner on the second day. And he did tell me, you know, obviously you didn't have to use your drive, but he parred the hole and he was ready to move on. So he was still good to go. But yeah, so that was a great start to the trip and a lot of fun. But as I said, shamble. Greg, who did you end up playing?
I played with Matt.
You were out before all of us.
I played with Matt. We played against Jack and Bubba, and it was in the beginning kind of back and forth. I think we like lost hole one, won hole two. Might have pushed hole three and like kind of back and forth for the majority of it. Because if you remember correctly, we teed off on the back nine. So we played 10 first.
That was Founders. That was the last.
But we basically kind of went back and forth. I think at one point we were maybe up two or three with like five or six to play and kind of just dwindled it away, kind of, you know, played not to lose rather than just kind of step on the throat type thing. And we ended up halving our match.
We could have sworn you won that match.
We lost 18 in order to have it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And actually I was wrong. You were out last that day. Yeah. You were behind, at least the three of us. You were behind us. Brian was the actual one out first. Brian got introduced very quickly to
We were last.
I was first. Yeah. Okay.
No. You ain't first.
I was first out of the three of us.
You were the first group out of Fairway Fit.
Okay. So let me go off on mine. So I actually went out on fire. I got to play the commish and Joe C, who was quite entertaining. And I think I told Greg this, the four of us are members right next door, but we drove 90 minutes away to play against each other. Cause I was with, Tom, who I played with in the years past, good friend of us, good friend of the show, big supporter. And if I could quit after 9 holes of this whole golf trip, dude, I was lights out. Like, that was by far the best I played. Drove it really well, played really well. And I think I saw you guys at the turn, or I saw Greg at the right around the turn, because the turn was out a little bit. And I was like, yeah, we're up. And we ended up playing. We were anywhere between 2 to 3 up pretty much the whole round. I think they cut it to maybe one once, but we got back up and we were able to ice and get our point.
You turned after 9, weren't you like under?
So after 9, if you would have taken, I think we took one or two of Tom's tee balls, but my ball was in play with clean looks. He just was like, if I was just off into the rough, he was right next to me in the fairway. So I couldn't 100% say it was all of my ball, but I would have been right at even. And you know, they did play some long par threes. If you remember number three, I think it was number three. It played close to 205 up the hill, which was a big hole.
I used a bullet and stuck it close.
There you go. I think I had Tom use a bullet on that one, but I played really well, played pretty solid the whole day. That was a great start to the trip for my group. Tom and I jumped up. Like I said, we beat the commission, Joe C, but a lot of fun. We got Brian introduced to some birdie juice as well too in that group. So between the two of us, I think we did okay. And then you followed us, and then Brian was last. So you were able to half with Matt or Bowdies, and then played with Jack. And who'd you say the other one was?
Bubba.
How was that?
Bubba played lights out. Like I had never played with him before, and really, you know, didn't know him much as a huge golfer. But I mean, as far as like being able to lock in, I mean, he's just like anybody else. He's going to have some miss hits here and there and whatnot, but like he used his bullets well. He hit the ball really well. I mean, he shocked me. Like he's a player. I mean, he's not by any means scratch, but I mean, at the same time, I mean, he gets around the course and he can get up and down. And he made a monstrous putt once that I was just like, God.
I mean, playing both scores, it does make a big difference. I think we're playing Max triple bogey.
Right.
So it made it a little bit easier on if you had a blow up hole type thing. But like we said, Brian got introduced really quickly. He got to play against the plus handicapper really quickly. But like I think he said, you were with Stu, right?
No, I was with the other Brad.
Oh, that's right. You were with Brad. Yeah, that's right. You were with Brad, and you were able to, you played RP. And who would RP play with?
Jim.
And Jim was lights out.
I've never seen anybody putt. I almost bought a lab putter immediately following the rounds. If it was 20 feet or longer, he made it. If it was less than 20 feet, it was debatable if he was going to make it. So I've just never seen anyone putt that way. You couple that with a plus handicapper like RP, and it's just it was over on the 13th. That's okay.
Yeah, I think with Iron Forge being pretty wide open, I mean, an RP on him's own ball is probably 2 to 3 under. I mean, there wasn't a lot of room or air for him to make mistakes off the tee. So,
yeah, I take it back. There was a blind shot. It was the first one. And the two of them didn't warm up, and they literally came off of a 6-hour car drive to get there. And they pulled in at late, like by 1 minute. And they took one practice swing. And the reason I remember it's a blind shot now is because I'd never seen a drive go quite that far and that straight, especially after never even taking a swing. So, but yeah, I mean, just you're able to just unload on that course. And actually, I thought Brad and I played pretty well. Like we weren't having bad holes. We had just you know, I didn't have any bullets. We used all we could, the best we could do, and just to try to hang in there. But yeah, that was a crusher.
Yeah. So that was the end of day one. We ended up headed back to the hotel. Hotel's a good, I'd say about 15 minutes away. Pretty nice place, and we were able to meet up in the conference room, which wasn't very big. Big room, but we ended up doing okay there. Had some pizza for the night, kind of hung out, caught up with a lot of guys, had some good nights, good conversations until the wee morning. And then we ended up heading back out the next day. Now, again, Greg and I woke up at 5 a.m. We tried to wake Brian up, but, you know, he was not in the mood to get up that early. He was actually, I think he was one of the early tee times and had to get out of there pretty early the next
second tee time.
Yeah, so then we headed over there. We played 36 holes. We started off a long day. We had a best ball format, two-man best ball format. And I'll hold off on mine because I know how that one went. But, Greg, how'd your round go?
It was great. I played with Chip. It's the first time I've ever played with Chip. And by the end of the day, you know, Chip's just – steady Eddie. He's just, I told him at the end of the day, I was like, I can watch I can watch your tee ball all day long. He was like, it doesn't go anywhere. It goes like max 200 yards. I was like, if I could tell you that my ball was going to do the exact same thing off the tee every single time, I was like, I would take 100 yards off my drive. But to the point where we use bullets sometimes where I was like, hey, I was like, why don't you go up to that, to the utmost tee, I was like, because then it takes that tree out of your line and you can hit your drive. Yeah. And it was one of those things where it just worked perfectly. We ended up playing, who did we play? We played Noel and John Jism. And same type format type thing where we were battling back and forth. Me and Chip ended up going up to the point where I think we ended it on 16 or 15, and then just played the rest of the round as like a cash game. And me and Chip ended up taking that one too. So,
big day for it.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, started off Jen's Cup, you know, 1-0-1, not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. DC 101, man. Bring it back.
Exactly. There you go. 101.
Yeah. So we moved over to the Founders Course, which is the more original course. Another par 72, a lot tighter off the fairways. I don't think it was such tree lined where you were out of play per se, but it was a lot more. You had to shape shots, punch shots to get out of the trees. I don't think there was a couple where maybe out of bounds or a hazard snuck in on you, but I don't think it was. That was what your worry. Your worry was you did have to be straighter off the tee. Again, played about 6,500 yards, which is not small. I mean, that's a challenging number. I don't think the wind picked up until the back. I think the back, the wind picked up a little bit there. I know in my round, which I did get to compete against Brian, everyone seemed to wanted to make a bigger deal about brothers going against each other.
Can't fight my brother Nibbles.
But I mean, we compete at everything. If it was, you know, just who can get to the car door faster, we've competed our whole life. So, and I think
How many fights ever broke out by one of you calling shotgun before the other one? Like, I feel like Brian would do it, and then Brad would be like, no, you have to have the car in sight. Like, Brad would bring up a small little distinct thing.
I think you got to remember that there was no way Brad ever didn't get the front seat because nobody wanted to get car sick. And so...
Touche.
So gotcha. We probably didn't fight over that one because it was probably a safer bet for all of us.
I think Brad probably made that up. He just says he gets car sick all the time.
That's a good one. Yeah.
You have to remember,
which was actually really probably the part of the trip that that I was most surprised with and I really enjoyed was there was so much former BRHS Spartan people there, right? So it was like a heist. It was not all the folks in my grade, but you know, folks in the a year down to like 3, 4, 5 years younger that knew us as brothers and knew us when we were at our most competitive time too. So, you know, break 20 years later, there's just an assumption that we're still that competitive. Right. Yeah. And so I could see why people would have gotten, you know, jazzed up about that. But in reality, you know,
it was a lot of alumni.
A
lot of Spartan pride.
So Brian is 3 years older than I am. And then, Greg graduated 2 years behind me in high school, right? You're 01?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I was 99.
Should have been OL, but whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, you also went to college for 11 years, so.
I was a redshirt kindergartner, but, you know, that's perfectly normal now.
So there was a wide variety of people that we knew, and then Greg did actually go to another high school, but that high school didn't even open until I was in high school. Brian was out of high school, so.
Yeah,
we crossed paths, and if they weren't the people we crossed paths with, we crossed
their
paths
brothers.
With their brothers or sisters. Like,
yeah,
we knew so many people there. And then there's the Matheny connection where he was somehow related to half the people there as well, too.
Yeah,
Either married in or vice versa. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I noticed that last year, and I kept telling you, I was like, yeah, you may not remember with their names, and once you see them, be like, oh that's right, I remember you, and then the stories they could tell. But yeah, so Brian and I matched up. I had Uncle E, Captain E, who played with me in the morning, the best ball. Brian had the legendary tournament player of Stu, who is only spoken of in nothing but folklore about his legendary status and how he plays on golf tournaments. And you know, let's be honest, I think Stu lived up to his name, to all the stories. Uncle E and I struggled. Brian, I thought, played pretty steady for the most part. a couple holes here and there popped up for you that you kind of have in a lot of your rounds. And then Stu, you and Stu ham and egged it, they say, and played pretty well. And I know I lost, I lost it on 18. I missed about a 2.5 footer that I could have probably kicked in on most rounds, but I think I blew. I think it spit it out to the right. I missed it on the left side and it spit it out to the right. I don't think it spit it all the way back to me. But it did. It came down to 18, almost chipped in, I think, on 17, which would have made it huge.
Yep. Yeah.
And I think we ended up, and I had to make the putt to half the match, and I missed the putt to lose the match. But I think between me and Uncle E, we probably missed 2, 3, 4 putts inside 4 feet. And then if you had a bad hole, I felt like Stu had a good hole. If you had a good hole, I feel like Stu had a bad hole. Like I said, you ham and egged it. But here's my question on the ham and egg. Which one is better, the ham or the egg?
I just don't know.
Brian, you're the historian. You got all this name.
I don't know if I've, and I'm definitely, the historian is a far stretch. I think that there's real true golf historians out there. Someone's going to know that. I'm not really sure.
I would go egg
because of the protein. I know you were going to say because of the protein.
Protein and ease of, well, I won't say ease right now because eggs are pretty expensive, but I would say the ease of gathering.
Yeah.
I don't got to butcher a pig to get ham.
I mean,
I have played with Stu a lot of times.
You can get your.
Come on, I know you're going.
That's my Tommy Boy line. Sorry,
I know where you're going.
Get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's.
Yeah, there
you know go. What? But I'd rather take his word for it.
Yeah,
I knew where you were going there. I had to let you get it out.
I don't know who's the ham and egg between Stu and I, but we have played a lot of golf, many tournaments too, and it is true. Like we will have this. We'll pick each other up, and for what on the 18th is a really good example where, even on the 17th, like I missed, I shanked it, like it was terrible, right? And then we his drive, and we were able to, and I missed a 4-footer for par, and that would have actually, that would have given us a little bit more of an edge, but you know we tied that hole, right? So it was. So yes, and then the 18, he hit it on the other on a tee box of like maybe two holes away.
No, he hit it
away.
On the green. He hit it on the green.
A green,
and
yeah,
had
a
to get
green.
A free drop off the green.
It was horrible, and everyone was like, "What in the world was that?" And then I had the best drive of my life and the best approach shot of my life, and was within 4 feet. And so, like you know, like we really did play that kind of golf where if you didn't play that golf, you were going to lose, right? And so, and we used our pops or bullets really well too, right? So it just I mean, I think that those are the kind of rounds you get excited for. And we had a little bit of crowd on 18, so that was kind of fun to watch. I've never seen a crowd not get excited. I saw them all put their heads down in fear that you may attack me. But in all honesty, it was like, I mean, we were dead tired after that round because I think Stu and you put every mental. We really got into that round and really wanted all four of us really wanted to win. Because we were all going back and forth the entire day. So it was great. It was a fun round, fun course. You know, I can compare that course pretty quickly if you want. But to be honest with you, I found that course to be a big challenge for me. I'm not a straight hitter off the tee very often. And so you've got to be straight off the tee on that course or you're going to find trees. We've hit so many trees. I hit three on the first hole.
Yep.
And then, if you weren't going to, and then it was a battle to get out of the trees, right? It wasn't like bushes. It was tall trees lining the course. But, you know, it was a more traditional style course. Like if you think of the 1960s type of courses that were built in Northern Virginia, you know, Edmund Ault was the architect. And if you live in Northern Virginia, you can't go anywhere without playing an Edmund Ault course. Like that's what I think surprised people the most. I was like, well, this architect. You know, he also did Algonquin, which we
I was
all
about to say,
know.
Algonquin is the closest I would
Goose
put
Creek,
that course
right?
to.
I'm not sure about Goose Creek, but West Park, for
West
sure.
West Park, maybe that's what it was.
Chantilly National, I think, Hidden Creek. which I think is in Reston, Reston National, Herndon Centennial. Yeah, so, you know, all of those courses, West Park, yeah, all of those courses are ones that we all grew up playing, right? Yeah. Like those are, and so, you know, Edmund Ault goes up there, builds that course. And, you know, I just, you know, it's a lot nicer than a lot of those ones that we just rattled off. But again, it was the shape, it was the conditioning.
How
they left that
course.
How
dare you downgrade Algonquian?
Yeah, well,
West Park was
my
a
jewel. Least favorite. Yeah, so. But no, it was a fun course. I thought the last five holes were probably the most interesting. You did have the, it was a big lake in the middle and it came into play on the first few Round holes of that back. I guess that would have been, yeah, the back. And then on the, but I think 16, 17, 18 were fun holes. Like you had to play good holes to finish that round. And I don't know, like that, I could have played those over and over and not played the rest and still like the course.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. It was. The only thing, conditions-wise, and I don't think you can get the grass to grow under those trees. I've just felt like if you missed the fairway, which I missed, if I hit a fairway, I'd be shocked to say I did. I wasn't on grass anymore. I was on mud. And that was, again, I don't think you can get grass to grow, you know, really well during there. So I kind of, you know, it's my own fault being there. I would say if I was to schedule this again, I think I would flip round two and round three formats with that course. I think risk reward on that course is more, could have brought the scramble format into play.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could have tried to take it over trees. I mean, just on that one par five where you can only hit it 220 or you're out of bounds, you had to go over. Like, I just feel like it could have brought in more of the mental side of playing the scramble format. Yeah. Like, you know, you hit it here, I hit it here type thing. But
the other thing that it had, much bigger greens, like gigantic greens.
Yeah.
And then you'd have these bunker complexes. Like there was the one, I forgot, it was that really the par five that bent around the trees.
Yeah, yep.
And then you had it was an almost like an infinity shaped or an eight type of shape.
The
of
bunker
green.
In front.
Yep. The bunker was in the middle, right? And you could have put that tee, that pin in either side. And it would have been a totally different hole for Priya. So I like that aspect. The one complaint I have about, you know, any of the features was the bunkers were just concrete. Like that was, I'm not a great bunker player anyway, but it was to the point where you had to treat it like it was just like a fairway lie.
It definitely was in round four after the rain. I don't remember as much in round two. I think I was more in the trees than in the
bunkers. You know me, I'm in the bunkers a lot, so.
Yeah. But yeah, so the it was great. But I would have to say when Stu went right and then it was like, it was kind of, I remember Muggly and I looked at each other and were like, all right, we got a chance. And you did, you piped your best drive. And I think I played hybrid. I almost unintentionally wanted to play the Ryder Club where I hit in first type thing. And I hit a 9-iron to about, I don't know, about 25-ish feet or so. And I remember I even turned around, like an RP said something to me from a distance. And I was like, yeah, we're good. I looked at Uncle Ian and I said, I think we'll be okay. And I think you stuck it to like 6 feet on your wedge. So, you know, tip my hat to you on the 18th hole. Other than that, like I said, I don't think Uncle Ian and I played our best golf. We didn't ham and egg it. Quite as maybe our eggs were scrambled. Would that be
scrambled eggs are definitely better than like sunny side up or
I mean I'm
like
a scrambled eggs easy. Guy so runny were they a little runny
yeah there you go or maybe they were just hard boiled
but yeah so I think after Scott round J. two Brian you are 1-1 I was also 1-1. And Greg was, as we said, 1-0-1 as we moved into round three. Round three, we headed back to the Founders. I do remember getting off 18 in the morning round, and everybody was kind of getting a bite to eat, getting started, or a couple guys had a rush to get to the next time. And we all kind of said, I think we got about 2.5 hours here. And then we might get a little wet. And I remember a guy showed me the radar, and he's like, it might be a little more than a little wet. It's going to be rough. And I was like, oh boy, made sure I had the rain gear. But yeah, got a bite to eat. I did think the clubhouse, I know it's not something we talked quite a bit about. I know you've talked a little bit about the complex itself, but I kind of liked the clubhouse. I thought we could have hung out there a little bit more.
Yeah.
Good look, good feel. I know it was a, what they call it, a dry township that we're in, but they had drinks for us. I thought the food was good. I didn't see anything issues. I thought maybe after one of the rounds we could have hung out there a little bit more, but we didn't. Not a big deal.
We hung out in the parking lot.
We did a little bit. Yeah, we did actually after the last round, didn't we? But no,
I think the problem is when you don't have a clubhouse that overlooks the 18th, and you just tend to not gravitate towards it as much, right? I mean, it was you're overlooking the first tee of Founders, and you had the putting green. There really wasn't like a place to sit, right. Hang out, yeah. And
you couldn't even see ninth green from there.
No, so that was one of the issues with the layout.
That's true. You are right. Didn't really notice that, but definitely probably why we didn't sit out, because I thought the balcony was nice and everything, the patio. But yeah, so we moved on to round three, back into the Iron Forge course. This is our scramble format, just like we mentioned before. I know I was last to go out, so maybe great. What do you want you take it first here?
I got to play with Steve, and I will say this, like he is by far probably one of the funniest person I've played with in a long time, considering like the dude will be like, he's like, all right, he's like, you know, wedge shot and about 110 or whatnot. And like, he would literally hit the ball, and before his head rose up, he'd be like perfect distance and just lift his club up and start walking away like up in the air and then just stick it to 5 feet. And I'm like, dude, you couldn't do that again if you tried. And then the next like two holes later, he'd hit it and be like perfect distance. And I'd be like, dude, what are you doing? I was like, how are you doing this? It was awesome. We definitely, I guess just to continue with the trait, we definitely ham and egged it where if one of us had a bad shot, the other one was picking each other up. We battled on that one, and kind of came back. I think we won on 17. We won on 17 on that one. It was back and forth the entire time. And you know, we ended up taking it on 17 on the par three.
Par three. Yes. Okay. Yep. I remember that. All right.
Or maybe it was 16. 16, I think we took the lead maybe on 16 and then
par three, 17 was the par five.
Right.
Eight.
I think we won it on like we closed out on we halved on 17 and we were one up at that point. So
basically. Yeah, I played against Steve at Gents Open back in the fall. And he's another one. It was just kind of like little unorthodox, kind of like a not quite like a John Daly type backswing where it kind of went way past parallel, but just
steady like, Eddie.
Okay. All right. You did it again. And it was like the third hole. All right. All right. All right. Well, you're not going anywhere. You're just keep going there. And like, he knew what he was doing with the golf ball, which was a lot of fun. Another Broad Run alumni. Hello, teacher. It was great. I remember he said, he goes, yeah, he told his kids, just good luck in the SOL. So you'll do fine. I'm not going to be there. And then, Brian, who'd you play with?
I played with Joe C, and we played Tom and Dave.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was like a real relaxed, chill round, I think, until it – and we just sort of kept staying – right even the entire way. We got up by a couple, just didn't let it go. The rain came down and basically Dave was like, I'm done. And he just, you know, the shot distance was just not as far. Everyone was kind of just, you know, it was a long day, and I think we had quite a few birdies, so plenty of birdie juice was flowing, and it was good. Like we just kind of stuck it out. I think we won by two, maybe three, something like that. I can't remember. But it was it didn't seem like a it didn't seem like there was a, ever a real comeback. We just kind of played it, kind of cruised through that round. And but it was fun, right? Because the best, yeah, you know, one of the best parts was riding with Joe C, and who you know was just a year younger than me. And I mean, I think we for like four or five straight holes, all we did was throw names out and say, you know, so and so, what they do. Of course, he knows what everyone's doing. I don't know anybody, what anyone's
he
doing.
He does.
And I realized like he's seriously still in the middle of everything and every conversation and all the, you know, so that was kind of cool to catch up. Yeah. I almost felt like I got distracted by that more than anything else. But I think that's what's cool about golf trips too, is it's not 100%. Just about the golf.
No, he's a great guy. This lives up the road here too. Yeah. But yeah, so I went out in the last group, which I did not like. Being last took forever for us to feel like to get started. But we were able to, I think we were able to have it on 18. We needed to win 18 to have. We ended up kind of making our own little format when after the rain went, because I think we were just kind of soaking wet and it just kind of moved from there. But it was a lot of fun. Played with some with Jism and Chad, and then that's when I got Chip. If you remember Chip is the steady one, and in a scramble that was perfect. It was, hey, why don't you go hit, and then I can see how far I can hit it. So yes, I did not lose many balls on Iron Forge the first day, but the second day, when I was trying to see how far I could hit it, I did lose a couple there. But no, we ended up, we couldn't just get away from them, and then they ended up taking the lead from us. And you know, like I said, we ended up winning 18 to have the match. So after three rounds, I was 1-1-1, and Greg was 2-0-1.
And I will have to shout out. I played with Dan and JP, and the vibes of the scramble round were actually perfect for even a rainy round.
Oh yeah,
it was awesome. It was a blast. JP, the mixture between just like Steve making me laugh with his calling his shots, and then JP just being vibes guy the entire time. It was a great round.
Yeah, Chad and like Jism would just, he'd walk up right behind you and whisper you something in your ear right before you teed off and be like,
yeah,
where did you think of that? Like, how does that even come into your head right now?
He has a beautiful mind. I'll put it that way.
But no, it was a lot of fun. So Brian, after three rounds, where did you sit?
2-1.
2-1. All right. So, you guys got some winning records, and I'm just kind of there. Just kind of there. We went back and we headed to a steakhouse for dinner, had a good time, went back again and enjoyed our evening festivities late into the evening. I think both Brian and I kind of crashed a little bit earlier. I know Greg stumbled in a little bit later, and then, but again, we got to sleep in a little bit, right back up in the morning, got our workout in, and, off to
that was the evening of the RP wanting to wear my man purse.
Yes. Yeah.
We won't get too deep into that on this one.
No, we'll save that one for later. That might be
a video that would go viral.
Yeah, it probably would. Probably
it
would.
Might be a, yeah, that could be a whole nother podcast. So
probably not a golf one.
So this one we headed into singles, and I think it is a little bit different showing up on the last day. I felt this the same last year. Now, last year I was in a little bit of a weird situation with a guy had to leave early. So my singles match last year was a little bit different, but this time being later in the rounds, getting there, and you can tell the intensity kind of picked up.
Just a little bit
where everyone was kind of like taking it a little bit more serious and trying to get like, maybe more than just a little bit of a warm up. They got a full warm up in. Beautiful weather again. I get the rain was out of there. I think there was some fear that some rain was coming in, but we didn't see anything. Back at the Founders, got the late text that we were going off 10 first, and then we were going to finish. So we would have finished on a par 3, which I thought, even when I heard that, I was like, ooh, that could actually really dictate some matches, especially guys who could hold off on their bullets until the 18th hole. Greg, you played
Dan.
Dan? who might be the biggest wild card of the 32 guys.
And that's exactly what we said right before we teed off. I was like, this is going to be a wild card. It's like, who decides to show up today?
Yeah. The best time to probably play Dan is after 3 days of enjoying himself, because he probably...
Three days of golf, period.
Dan
gets bored easily.
Yeah, he does. He gets tired, and when he gets tired, he kind of quits on things. But even Dan seemed to be a little bit.
He was a little bit more locked in. He wanted to win. He might have had a side bet that I didn't know about or whatnot.
I know they did that last year. They probably did this year as well too. And they probably picked us to lose everything. But it is what it is. And I know you were able to beat Dan. You were probably off last.
Yeah, we were the last group off.
You were the last group off, and so we waited around a little bit while. You probably waited quite a bit after we got there because we did get there a little bit earlier for our tee time. Watched everybody go off, but you were able to win it pretty early, right?
No,
16.
We finished. I won it technically on 17. I was two up with one to play. We went into 17. Like I should have won it on 16, but. We have 16, which made me two up with two to play. And then I gave him a long putt on 16 to have the hole when I was like, okay, we're good. I was like, you don't need to putt that. I was like, just take it. I was like, I win anyways.
Yeah. I do know the wind picked up quite a bit on our back on that round. It did make a couple difference. So going into that 18th hole, I do remember it being pretty tough. Brian and I, we did not play each other, but we were in the same foursome that went out. Brian played Matt, who rode with me, and then I played Jack, who rode with Brian. I could vouch that I think Brian took it a little longer than maybe his playing competitor thought it was going to be. But then again, as the round went on, it was a lot of reminding him what the score was. Like, I think he just kind of forgot sometimes. But Brian went up 2-0, or went 2 up, I think, right? Is that about right, Brian? Through about 6 or 7 holes, you were about 2 up?
No, I lost the first hole, but then I won the second and then won another one, like the fourth.
Yeah,
but so it kind of teetered back and forth. I was kind of, I...
Yeah, nobody know, I, got I think more I was, than two holes up on anybody.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I think what happened... was on the 14th or 15th hole, I thought I was up by one, and he said we were tied, and I was like, oh, I don't think so. And I looked at it, scores were right. I forgot to circle one for him to show that he was winning, and so we were tied going into like the 14th or 15th hole, I think the 15th hole. So, but, you know, I was actually, yeah, I think Valdez came up to me on the second hole and said he shot like a 69, a couple weeks ago. And I was like, I kind of heard that. Hopefully you don't shoot one of those today because I'm pretty sure I'm not going to break 85. And so, but we went back and forth and I made some putts and that kept me in it because I think I hit the driver once because I just lost it. Couldn't get a feel for it. And had to rely on a 3-wood, and there was a lot of wind, and I just was not getting distances. So, missing greens. And then it came down to he thought he won on the 17th, and I said, no, we were tied. And
took his hat off, shook hands.
Yeah. So, I was like, well, no, I won the 17th. He goes, oh. And so, that put us at, I had to win the hole to tie. Right.
Yeah.
And he still had a bully. It was a par 3.
Yep.
And I had to be perfect on it, and I just wasn't. And so, it was a good match. I mean, honestly, I got.
Did he use the bullet on 18?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Did he stroke on it?
Yeah.
And he purposely waited, I think, for both par 3s, which was the right move.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He did like. I definitely could tell that he kind of wasn't sure what to expect. And I remember telling him, I was like, you might beat him, but he's not going to go away. And so like, he'll have a bad hole, but he'll put holes together. And Valdez hit it all over the golf course that day. I mean, when his misses, he missed he missed pretty bad. And
yeah, he had great recovery shots. Second shots and wedges were really good.
Early on, really both him and I thought Jack played very well out of the trees. Yeah. And we did not. But no, it was a good match. It was fun to be a part of the watch. But yeah, Matt was able to win it on 18. Jack and I was a little bit lopsided match early on. They both, I think, hit the fairway. Well, they both hit pretty decent tee shots on one, and I think me and you both went dead left on one. Mm-hmm. And I kind of even told myself, I was like, man, this could be a long day. And it was a long start. I think through six holes, I was down five, and I already used the bullet to not be down six. So it was, and it was all big numbers too, which I mean, if I bogeyed a hole, I think I was, it was like, I think I looked at Brian, I was like, that was a good hole for me. And that was a bogey and it was rough. I wanted to sell my clubs. They were listed on eBay. I did not post the send yet. So, I
would have bought them and just stashed them just in case you wanted to bet.
I think I remember going up on six before he went up five. And I remember telling Jack, I was like, dude, I go, my bad, dude. I hope I just show up for you and make this fun the rest of the way. And I think with a little bit of Jack's help, because I don't think I ever turned it on by any means, but a little of his help, I did chip away into it. Got up to the par five. If you remember that big par five down the hill, it had like a 100-yard fairway. And I think I remember looking at Valdez and I was like, man, if I could win this hole, I was like, I actually got a chance in this match. And I had a good birdie look and he ended up missing a pretty short putt. And I parred, he ended up bogeying. And from there on, I did pull a shot out of, you know what, on, I think it was eight, but was our 17th hole.
Yeah.
And honestly, I wish I would have saw it because, Brian, I don't think you all saw it either. Once I hit it, I don't think any of us saw where the ball was, but I tried to play a big little hook, like riser up over the trees. And I knew I hit it really good. I knew I was up there by the green, but I was looking 30 yards left of my ball. And I think you said, Brad, you're right there. And I was on the back corner of the green and ended up winning 17 to push it to 18. Once again, I used my bullets a long time ago. He stroked, and I think I ended up making bogey on it. And he actually hit a really good ball.
Yeah, great shot.
In front of everybody. And that's when that wind was blowing, mm-hmm. and it was a 180-yard shot hard into the wind, maybe 170 hard into the wind. And I remember, I think Valdez asked me what I hit, and I was like, I hit an 8-iron. And he goes, what? I was like, dude, my adrenaline was going. I thought I'd hit it further. and I tucked it left. I actually hit a pretty decent chip, and I actually hit a pretty decent putt. I didn't make it. And honestly, walking away if I did half it, would have been a huge win from where I was six holes into the match. So, but no, tip my hat to Jack. His driver let him down, I think, kind of like, right around the three-quarter mark of the round for like 12, 13, 14, 15. It just got away from him. He hit that little – he hit it good, but it kind of would flare off on him. Maybe the wind wasn't helping him very much, but made it a match. But I think Brian, was your – I think your match was the deciding point overall.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Matt being able to take that one, that was what capped it off for Uncle E's team for the third year in a row? Second year in a row. Third, because he won Gents Open. Third
right.
competition in a row. But yeah, so, yeah.
Well, no, that was Gents Open aren't the same captains. Caleb's team won Gents Open. It's Caleb versus Josie.
Yeah, you're right. They did mix that up, didn't they?
No.
All right. Well, Uncle E was on our team because I remember him handing me.
That's true. That's true.
I remember him handing me the trophy to drink out of, and he was like, make sure you come over here. So, but yeah, so that wrapped up. I ended the fabulous tournament at 1-2-1. Brian, you ended at
2-2.
2-2. which isn't bad for the first year. I think that's actually really good. Then Greg, I think you were
continued my winning streak, 3-0-1.
Did you do well at Gents Cup last year?
No, but I can just continue my winning streak.
Is this another streak that we're trying to
just
define?
Just still on that winning streak. Still on that winning streak. Can't take an L.
Yeah, you're right. You didn't. But no, awesome time. Couldn't have had more fun. We did go back and headed to Buffalo Wild Wings, watched the Caps game.
Had all you can eat wings.
All you can eat wings, which I still think my stomach's a little messed up from, but that's kind of where we were. So I got to ask, Brian, what did you think of Gents Cup?
I mean, when I heard y'all describe it last year, I was nothing but jealous and wanted to play. Like, I just like, this is the kind of golf outing you want to go on with, especially just kind of hearing the names and y'all, you know, dropping old high school names at me. And so I thought, you know, and there's all kinds of golf trips, right? There's the kind that, hey, let's go knock out as many top 100 courses as we possibly can and, you know, and just get beat up by those courses. But we can say we knocked off a bunch of courses. Then there's like those awesome courses where there's courses where the course doesn't even matter just because you're with great company.
Yeah.
And it's like, this kind of felt a little bit of both. And I think we got lucky. The courses were good, were better than probably expected. I mean, they're by no means a top 100 or anything, but they're certainly for a large group.
They're top 100 in PA.
Yeah, probably. But I would say they
are 100, right at that number.
Yeah. But they're like, but the group was just is what makes it, right? I think that's why these trips are so fun. Is and I really do, and I feel like I clicked with folks that I didn't expect to. You know, 32. I honestly, there's probably about 7 or 8 of them I don't even think I said anything to because you just don't always have the opportunity to just sit down and chat with folks. But the ones I did, it was great. I hope I get recruited again next year and able to play. I think that was my goal, is just to not embarrass myself enough and to maybe get invited back, because it was definitely worth it. They do it. You know, Brian does a really nice job of putting this all together.
Well, I mean, I think I embarrassed myself last year and still got invited back.
So. There you go.
I think that was something me and you talked about. And because I know, you know, you help out a lot of golf trips, golf experiences, stuff we've talked about. And again, I go back to our bonus episode that we had you on, got a little more in depth on. And that was something I told you. I was like, this isn't that type of trip. This is like 32 guys getting together, and you could put us in a bowling alley and it would just be a super fun, awesome time. And it's set up in a way that no matter how good you are, you're on the green. And I don't think I heard of any matches just getting completely out of hand where people were winning 5 up or something like that. Like, most of the matches come down to the end. And this is something Greg and I talked about when we set up Fairway Fit Cup, to have the two people reading putt, and you have that competitive juices on a green at a sport that, let's be honest, we're all just having fun of. It's not something we really work that hard on. That's what it's all about. And so you add the competitiveness, the good time, the good people. That's exactly what Gents Cup, but also what we are trying to do with Fairway Fit Cup as well too. And I know that was something you missed out on this year, but you're probably top on the list as we're expanding it out next year to 16 people. So awesome fun, awesome time. Really looking forward to 2026. We're hoping to have a big announcement from the commish. We've asked them to join us for the announcement.
And I do believe the Open's coming back in the fall. So
I heard a lot of people talking about that as well too. Maybe somewhere different than Locust Hill, or if not back at Locust Hill.
I don't know. I think everybody enjoyed the casino except for all the people that got COVID, but whatever.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, awesome time. Brian, I appreciate you joining us, not only for the Gents Cup, but also joining us for our recap. We look to have you on maybe a couple more times as the year goes on here. But we appreciate it. And I know we'll get on it on the golf course once this rain stops. I think they're calling for about another 1.5 inches tomorrow. So maybe a couple of days. But I know we're talking about a challenge.
Day.
We're talking about a challenge potentially in the simulator.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. We are.
We'll have to set that up, and maybe Greg and I can take on you and the great tournament player Stu sometime in a 2v2.
Ooh, I like that.
I think
we'll see. Stu can't use his driver in my simulator because it's too violent, and he is steps away from the ball too far. I'm afraid my walls would go down. So, but I appreciate y'all having me on. You know, I love what you guys are doing. Love Fairway Fit. I think it's a great product. And so, anytime I can jump in and help out, happy to do that.
All right, man. I appreciate it, and we'll definitely touch base soon. All right, Greg. Now that Gents Cup's done, we got to talk about what is our plan. What do we have planned next? Because between the rain, between youth sports, I just don't know when I'm going to be able to get on the golf course. What about you?
I don't have anything really set in stone. Fly by the suit of my pants as far as I'm pretty busy on the weekends with family stuff. I'm looking forward to more so possibly like a Saturday afternoon, maybe early evening sneak out to the course, or a Sunday type thing to get to. But my main thing is I need range time. I need to dial in everything that I've been kind of changing and working on and really get more confident and more like, I want to be chippish. I want to be a consistent ball flight. I want to know what's going to happen when I swing the club, rather than just, this is my plan and hopefully it works out. So really, I'm going to be getting to the range in the mornings once weather clears up and Laura's schedule calms down a little bit in the mornings, because right now I'm taking both kids to school every morning. So that's kind of taken away from it. Luckily, we've been getting rain every single morning, so it's not really that big of a deal. But really the biggest thing is I need to get some practice time and just really dial in and hone in and hopefully bring my A game to the courses when I start recording scores again, because really I haven't recorded many scores this year so far, since they've always been formatted and everything like that. Right.
Yeah. I have to say, like, I got to figure out something that I can do away from the golf course to work on golf swing. I mean, I've got my yardstick. I've been doing a little bit of things in planning, but I will tell you, if I'm not planning, I have been working on editing a lot of different things. So, like, still working on another video that we have that's going to come out real shortly. So it's just been hard. I mean, the workout stuff, I don't see that me losing that consistency. I'm pretty happy with what we're doing. The program has been, it's been easy enough to tweak to keep my interest, if that makes sense. Because the exercises, I guess it's the routine is there, and then I can just modify exercises in it. And I think that has been a better system than what I've had in the past, where I felt like what I had in the past, if I tweaked it, it wasn't as good a workout. Where now I feel like if I just tweak one or two things here, or maybe I don't feel like I'm hitting this as much, it's been good. And I think I've been doing it maybe probably not a full 4 weeks, maybe 3 weeks.
I've been on this plan since September.
Yeah. And I think telling me that kind of keeps my intrigue in it as well too. Like, I'm usually like 4 to 6 weeks and I get bored of it and I need to do something else, but I feel like I can tweak it as the week goes, and it just, I don't know. It's been good. I probably do need to pick up miles if I'm going to be ready for our challenge that we have coming up in the fall. I know that sounds like it's far away, but it's really not. I'm not getting those longer runs in that I need. I'm not worried about the day to day, but I need to stretch it out a couple more times in a month, not necessarily in a week.
Yeah, and like I stretch it out just once a week.
Yeah, but I just don't even have that time. And you know, in the years past that you've probably heard me say, I would, you know, I'd take Tegan to softball and I'd go run while she's warming up, and then but I don't even have that right now, because now we're splitting softball, basketball, and baseball, and then golf on top of it. And it's just, you know, it's two teams here. It's a chorus concert next week. It's guitar practice. It's just, it seems like it's something. And I don't know if that's just the excuses I'm making or whatever it may be.
Wake up early before you even go.
Yeah, but we're talking, I'm already up at 5.
Touché.
I mean, like right now, we're cutting into my solid sleep time. Because, you know, we are the late night podcast.
No, I'm saying on the weekends. On the weekends.
Yeah, so usually that's...
I'm still usually like a 5:30, 6 a.m. wake up in the morning on weekends to get my stuff done before the kids get up.
So normally, in the past, what I've been trying to do, but it's been a little bit harder. You know, either we're going on our trip, or it was spring break, or it was something. And I was like, you know, maybe an extra day of recovery is not a bad thing. And that's one thing I do have to tell myself too, is I think I need to improve my recovery, which I know most people doing nothing is recovery. I think I need to get back into the ice baths.
Yes.
And different types of things from there that I'm not actually hitting as much right now. I think those would help me out. And I feel it a little bit in my knees lately.
Anybody is an ice bath sponsor.
Yeah.
Shoot them our information. I will use that thing on a daily basis and document it. I don't care.
Yeah. But as far as golf, I tried to get out Saturday. I was texting with Brian. We have a lot of Brians on the friends of the show. But Brian that I play with out here, and he's like, dude, let me know. And I'm like, yeah, we're up 7-0. We're up 9-0. Boy, we just won. That means we move on. And then we won again, and that moves on. And we ended up playing 5 games on that Saturday.
That's
and it was
nuts.
It was one of those, dude, I was so happy because they played well and the girls were just so into it. But I was like, yeah, I'm not going to play golf today. So didn't even get out at all. And now the rain is a little bit of a damper. It seems like what the big damper is, like tonight we were supposed to play Little League. Obviously it got rained out, but the rain out doesn't get me on the golf course. It still keeps me at home and it
just
like
pushes you.
Yeah. So it's kind of irritating. So I've got to figure it out. One other thing I want to talk about before we sign off for tonight's episode is that we have been called out. We have a couple matches that people have reached out to us. Our good buddy Jason, who is a graduate a year in front of you in high
same
school,
year.
Him and his buddy. Same year?
Yep.
Okay, same year. For some reason, I thought he was a year older. But anyway, he has called us out with his good buddy out here, and we'll probably have to head out to the Locust Hill area. That's where they play out of. And then we have been called out by my buddy here, Brian, who is... he hasn't quite figured out who his other person is, but maybe we just take him 2v1. He's pretty much a scratch guy.
Yeah, that might be
Might be a good match right now the way we've been playing, or at least the way I've been playing. I actually think you've been playing trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
And you're not going to sit here and say your scores are great, but you're definitely trending in the right direction. So, but yeah, I know we'll be ready for summer when it hits, but my fear is I'm not going to be where I want to be when summer hits, and I got to get through that mental side. So, but yeah, I mean, Gents Cup was amazing. Can't wait for 2026. A lot of rumors were floating around. I know Brian will make a huge decision coming up here lately. Hopefully we can have him on. I know me and you've already started talking about Fairway Fit Cup 2026. I know we have a ton of stuff that is going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks. And we just got to get to it and keep grinding, keep pushing. You know, I keep telling my kids, you got to outwork the people around you. And I think that's what we're trying to do. I think some days are better than others, obviously. But yeah, man, until next time, if you are liking our episode, please make sure to like and subscribe. Follow us on any platform.
Tell your friends.
Please
tell your siblings.
We still have a goal of getting up to about 500 subscribers up until the end of May here. And we've had a good influx, and hopefully you can be one of them. But until next time, we'll see you at the 9th, 3rd, and 9th.